Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
All right, welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm back at it again. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back with my co-host and bike riding business partner and co-host, Al McDonald. Al, I assume you're out on your bike this month. This is a big month for you.
This is a big month. August is the Great Cycle Challenge. I've done it 3 years before. I'm signed up for a fourth year. So I've got a big itinerary in front of me, 750K. I'm off to a good start right now. I'm up to 180. So I've still got the rest of the month to go and looking forward to it. And so there's my plug for anyone who wants to go to my donation page and help out Sick Kids Hospital.
Yeah, great cause. And I think this is what, the third or fourth year in a row you're doing it. So
fourth year.
I did share that on LinkedIn as well. So anyone who wants to support that, we'd greatly appreciate it. Hey, Al, you know what's so cool about this podcast, and you've heard me say it before, is we've met now, we've done over 203 episodes as of today, and we've met a lot of really cool people. And we met someone really cool and interesting recently, and that was Jody Kovitz. And that episode, we just got so many DMs. And I was joking around with Jody that I said, boy, you seem to know everybody, don't you? And as a result of that, we had someone reach out to us and said, hey, you got to speak to our CEO because he's amazing. He has so many great things to say. And that's why we're here today. So joining us on the pod today is Andrew Curtis, CEO of Clearco. Andrew has over 20 years of experience working in finance in New York, including roles in investment banks such as Merrill Lynch and Lazard Frères, said that with my French accent, as well as several investment managers. Before joining Clearco as an advisor in July 2022, he served as an advisor to NLA Capital Management, a real estate investment trust focused on housing, finance, and residential mortgage market. Andrew has extensive background in leveraged credit, liability management, and financial restructurings, asset-based finance securitizations. He graduated from Brown University and subsequently earned master's degrees from the University of Chicago Graduate School of Business and the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy of Tufts University. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. Pleasure to see you guys.
Well, based on that intro, Andrew, clearly you're much smarter than either of Al or myself. So
it's a low bar.
The intro almost put me to sleep, to be honest with you. But
yeah, I know. It's always tough hearing those when they get read in about you. I think most of our listeners would know who Clearco is.
Yep.
But where I'd like to start maybe in the beginning is a little bit about your background in finance and then why you were brought in to turn the company into Clearco 2.0.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. Great to speak to you guys. I hope I can match your last guest in terms of DMs received. We'll see. I joined Clearco in July of 22 after spending about 20 years on Wall Street or working in finance in New York City. I think the time I joined Clearco, Clearco was experiencing some changes. Clearco was founded in 2015. Really started focusing on the current business that we have today in around 2018 and grew very rapidly. But with very rapid growth, sometimes comes challenges. So I joined in July of 2022 at the introduction of one of the company's VC backers that was US based, and I'm here in the States, and started spending time with Andrew and Michelle, who are the two founders of Clearco. And really, you know, went up to Toronto one day and didn't come back for a while and was pitching in, helping out on a lot of interesting challenges the company was facing. I came back to the States after 3 months and then went back maybe 3 months later when the board asked me if I would consider becoming CEO. And I said, yes. So it's been a wild ride. It's been a very exciting time and very challenging at points, but Clearco is a fantastic company, fantastic brand, and the founders get a lot of credit for building something really special, and businesses evolve, and I'm happy to be part of Clearco 2.0, which is what we call it today.
Well, I've never met Andrew, but I follow him on LinkedIn and I always enjoyed his posts. But I have met Michelle. We were at an industry event a couple of years ago and she spoke at the event about her entrepreneur journey. And it was just such a fascinating story. And then I actually met her at the front desk because it was held in a hotel, and just a really nice person. So I've been following her story for a long time. And of course, the story about Clearco. I'm just wondering, we don't always get people who have come from the US. A lot of our discussions are with Canadian-based entrepreneurs or CEOs and founders. Have you experienced anything cross-culturally that you would kind of say, oh, that's a little bit different how you do things in Canada when you came on board with the Canadian firm?
People are nicer, I think.
I was going to say, much nicer, right? We're much more polite.
No. So I would say, I think some of it may be cross-cultural. Some of it may be a shift from the industry I came from. So I spent, you know, the bulk of my professional life working at banks and funds and sitting on trading desks for chunks of time. And that's a very different world than working for a corporate. So I think a lot of the changes I've experienced relate to that. And in finance, it's a very black and white world with often pretty hard edges. And working for a corporation, or in this case, leading a corporation, is very different. Now, at Clearco, what I found when I went up to Clearco was, number one, what they do is familiar to me. They call it a fintech, or these businesses are called financial technology companies. But in reality, they're technology-enabled specialty finance companies. So it was very recognizable to me from the world I was coming from. I have a background in structured finance, corporate finance, and so it all seemed very familiar to me in that respect. The other thing was that there are just a lot of smart, talented people at Clearco. You've got a lot of very bright engineers. We have a very talented finance staff and capital market staff. I think that made the transition easier for me, coming from a world of just pure finance to something that was a little bit different. And also, this was a company that was pretty young. And like many fintechs or technology companies in that period of time, they had been growing very, very rapidly. And they were being rewarded for very rapid growth by their investors. And that period of euphoria or exuberance, that's changed now, of course. So what I think we've tried to do over the last couple of years is just instill a lot of discipline and rigor in what we do. And like a lot of fintechs, we're backing off of the growth at all costs and stratospheric rocket ship growth. And that's a good thing. A lot of companies like us are going through that and learning how to live differently.
Andrew, yesterday we were chatting with a former podcast guest, because honestly, we end up becoming friends with most of the people. And I hope that's our future as well, because, you know, I'd love to get together with you at some point. But we were chatting, and one of the things that she had said was, we're very fortunate in Toronto. And she had made a comment about the Valley, referring to Silicon Valley, like, oh, you think all the talent's there? And she said, no, we're going to give you a run for our money. And I'm glad you pointed that out about the talent at Clearco, because I would expand that and say, in the GTA, we have got some of the best talent in the world. I mean, whether we're talking about technology or you're talking about people that we're attracting into our industry, financial services, the talent pool is so rich here. And I think we're very fortunate to be in that position. So running a company out of Oakville, Ontario, I feel very fortunate that we have a lot of talented people on our team as well. And I'm very proud of that as a Canadian.
You should be. I think like that was one of the clearest things to me, because when I got to Clearco in July, there were a lot of challenges and it was effectively an emergency situation. And you need two things in emergency situations like this. And I understand this because I've been doing restructurings or recapitalizations for a large part of my career. You need people that are deeply committed and you need people that are smart. Because these are A, complicated problems, and B, they require a ton of work. So you have to be prepared to walk through walls. And when I got there in July 17th of 2022, a Monday, and that was the first time I'd met Andrew D'Souza in person. And, you know, the next 3 months were consumed by a lot of us just sitting in a conference room, like could be 8, could be 12 of us sitting in a conference room trying to sort through very complicated problems. And it requires intelligence. It also requires, probably more importantly, a lot of resilience. And, you know, Canadians are resilient. So that was great to have.
Andrew, you've already touched a little bit on this, and I want to dive into it a little bit more. You've already talked about the restructuring and some of the challenges. And I think it's fair to say that anytime you're building a business, you know, you need people all rowing in the same direction, all on the same team. Can you talk a little bit about the mission and the vision that you have at Clearco that everyone can get behind?
Yeah, of course. So I think just to take a step back, when you think about the challenges Clearco is facing and now what we do every day post recapitalization, the focus for Clearco and our North Star is our customers. So our customers are all DTC, direct-to-consumer e-coms that are generally young businesses, growing rapidly, run by a founder who's trying to figure out how to deliver a product or a service to market. They are taking enormous risk, usually, when they're starting a business. Lots of things they could do, but they decided to do this. They're entrepreneurs. I have enormous, and everyone at Clearco has enormous respect for people who take that kind of risk, because not everyone does, as you guys know. And Clearco's job is to support them. It's that simple. And we support them by providing them capital that fuels their growth. Now, we don't give capital to everyone because not every business merits getting capital. And for Clearco to be a successful business, if we advance dollars to someone, we want that capital to come back to us. That makes our business sustainable. But that is the North Star for us. And underneath that is the simple idea that, A, you're trying to support someone that is doing something that's hard and that's meaningful to them. But B, these businesses grow. And as they grow, they employ people and they pay taxes and they contribute to the macroeconomic growth of Canada, to the US. And so the customers are the lifeblood of our business, but they're the lifeblood of a broader economy. So the idea that we can support them, that's why we get out of bed every morning. That's why we work through hard challenges. That's why we worked very hard to recapitalize the company so we could make sure that Clearco survived to continue supporting companies like this.
You used a couple of times in there the term North Star. Is that something that you actually use with your team?
Yep, it is. So we talk about it regularly. When we're talking about like Clearco as a group and also externally, the North Star is serving these customers, serving these entrepreneurs and founders who are hustling like crazy, trying to make something work. And the thing about these businesses that's complicated is you have a product or you have a service that you love and that you want to get into the hands of people, and you're trying to figure out product market fit. And then you're trying to do all the things required to get product, either getting from overseas, manufacturing yourself, whatever the case may be. And then you have this whole financial component, which is, okay, I need capital to grow this business in the way that I want to. And these businesses tend to be voracious consumers of capital. They're paying for a lot of marketing. They're paying for all their inventory. So Clearco focuses on helping fund all that in a simple, fast, easy way, thereby freeing up the founders to focus on their core business, right? The financial piece is critical. It's essential. You cannot grow the business without this kind of capital, but we don't want it to overwhelm the founder or the entrepreneur, right? That's why we want to be an easy solution for them to help fuel their business.
Again, you just talked about funding. From your experience, like, do you think that's one of the biggest challenges for new startups and entrepreneurs is just finding that funding out there? You said it yourself, it's capital intensive.
Yeah, it's capital intensive. And I think whenever we talk to founders about their biggest challenges or what they're looking for most, it's always capital. And number one, they're young businesses, so it's hard to access capital markets, period. Number two, and this was Andrew and Michelle's original focus when they were founding the businesses, we are trying to provide them capital that doesn't dilute their ownership. Right. So we don't want to see founders give up equity as they try to grow their business. Right. Like, a lot of what they're looking for is capital to fuel working capital growth. Right. So to pay for inventory, to pay for invoices, to pay their marketing spend. And what we want to do is help them do all of those things without giving up equity ownership. And that non-dilutive aspect of Clearco's financing, that was always critical and remains critical to what we do and kind of like how we talk to founders.
There's a lot of founders and entrepreneurs who listen to this podcast because I hear from them on a regular basis, and they're going to be very happy to hear that. And I think, Andrew, what you've done a really good job of is explaining what's happening at Clearco, but the ramifications of what you're doing with your customer and how that's multiplying into hiring other people and feeding their families. And that's not only across Canada, but in the US as well. I'd like to go a little bit deeper on that And you can answer this in any way you see fit. And it can be the CEO of Clearco, or it can be you personally. But what does success look like to you?
Well, success to me at Clearco looks like successfully serving those customers. More specifically, Clearco grew very, very rapidly, 18 through 22. And we extended a lot of capital to a lot of founders. So we were helping these founders in the way I was describing earlier. But with the recapitalization, there's a renewed focus from us to make sure that our business is sustainable. So what I tell our employees all the time is it's great to have the North Star of serving our customers well and being the fuel for their growth, but we also need to be sustainable. And that means we got to be profitable. And it means that if we extend capital to these founders, we need to make sure it comes back. We're not a bank. Our product isn't technically a loan, but if we send dollars to someone to grow their business, we want them to use that capital, pay us a fee, that's the cost of the capital they're using, and then return that capital to us. And by doing that, we get the capital back, and then we can use it again, and we can fund another merchant. So success these days to Clearco means discipline and rigor in serving that North Star, right? You can run around like pie in the sky and say, oh, I want to serve all these founders, and I want to be the fuel for their growth. That's great, and we do want to do that. But you can't extend capital to everyone because not everyone can get the capital back to you, or not everyone's business actually works. And that's just a fact of life. When it comes to entrepreneurship, lots of businesses fail. Majority of them fail when they're started. So we have to be very thoughtful and prudent when we send capital out or advance capital. I wish I could give it to everyone. I cannot. So success at that level for Clearco is finding good customers, fueling their growth, getting the capital back, maybe fueling the same customers' growth in the future, or maybe using that capital to fuel the next customer's rapid growth. So success means that, and then in just in general, the Clearco, like doing hard things well is like clearly part of the ethos. And part of that just stems from the recap, right? It took a while to work through that. And that made us very tough and resilient. And so at Clearco, like we like grit and we expect employees to show grit, and they do. And that's how we're successful as well.
Andrew, do values ever come into the equation? I'll tell you what I mean by that. So as an organization, we worked really, really hard on, we call them our guiding principles. And our answer to employees is, when in doubt, refer to the guiding principles, right? Because it's all there. And we find the most success we have is with companies or clients that align very closely with those values. And you've shared a little bit, and I'm beginning to learn a little more about the values that are close to your heart at Clearco. And then I'm going, okay, I align with these people. I like this so far. You're there to make a profit. You can't give money to everyone as much as you'd say, hey, I'd like to help everyone start a company and be successful. But you can't do that. You've got to turn a profit as well. Does aligning on values ever come into that equation? Or if it's a great business idea, but the person just is completely off left field of those values, as long as we're going to make money, hey, let's go.
Well, I think we have values that we all live by at Clearco, and they're values that I basically, you know, with the help of other people on my team, put together in January of 23 when I became CEO. So like I was kind of chuckling when you were asking because I have them on my screen.
I love it.
So those values, and by the way, like the thing I've been happiest about the values that we started promulgating in 2023, January, when we were still working through the recap, is like they've held up very well, in my opinion. And so we go back and look at them, and periodically we have regular monthly all hands calls or bi-monthly town halls where we walk the employees through recent performance, challenges we're facing, problems we're trying to solve, et cetera. And we periodically just pull the values up again and we just walk through them. And I think it's critical that people couple those guiding principles with our discussion of mission and vision, right? Because you can't have one without the other. You can't run around saying, oh, you know, we're here to serve founders, right? We work with entrepreneurs closely, we provide them capital. That's not enough. You got to do it in a sustainable way, as discussed earlier. And then underlying everything we're doing are a series of values that I hold myself to. And they're values that partly reflect just me, and they're values that reflect the way I grew up, but they're also values that I think at their core are good values, period, for any corporation. Like things like, we're very loyal or faithful to the idea that you're transparent and you communicate directly and frankly with everyone. So I speak very directly to the employees. I expect them to speak directly to me. And transparency with our customers is extraordinarily important. And I get on calls with customers all the time. And I always emphasize that because the world of finance can be murky sometimes. And these founders, again, to my point earlier, like they're trying to figure out how to grow a business. And they're hustling, right? A lot of these guys are working 24/7, weekends, et cetera. And then they stop and they say, oh, I need to fund growth. They look at the landscape for funding growth. It's complicated, right? It's complex. And they have all of these options. And so what I tell customers is, it's already dizzying. And we're here to just tell you exactly what we'll do for you and what kind of capital we'll provide and the cost of that capital. I think a big frustration I have in this space is that capital providers sometimes don't really tell the customer exactly what they're going to have to pay to access capital. So in any event, that transparency and that candor and that frankness, that's our number one value. I was just looking at it. We have kind of five that are our guiding values, and that transparency and communications or effective communications is our first overarching or guiding principle.
You said so much there that I would love to dive into a bunch of those issues, but obviously we're limited in how much we can talk about. But you did say one thing that I maybe want to explore a little bit more. I heard you say one of the values reflected how you grew up. And we had a podcast guest on just a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know, one of the questions that I like to ask people is there a defining moment in your life that really affected you and affected who you became? So I want to ask you that question. Is there a moment in time or maybe a person that you can point back to and say, this really impacted who I am today?
I don't think there's a defining moment. Actually, I think it was like growing up in a family where the same values were espoused from day one. I grew up in Massachusetts. I grew up in a city called Worcester, Massachusetts. My parents were both from New England. My mom was from Providence and my dad was from New Hampshire. New Englanders to the core. I was the youngest of four children, so I have three older sisters. And so in the house I grew up in, and by the way, neither of them worked in business. They were both educators. My father was a university professor. My mom was a school teacher. But in that household, I think honesty was important and telling the truth. Those were values coupled also with something I mentioned earlier, which is, you know, do hard things well. That was beaten into our or drummed into our heads from when we were kids. There's no beating going on, I assure you.
Sorry, Mom.
Those values were drummed into our heads from when we were little. Like we were definitely taught the value of education and the importance of education, which of course is no surprise since my parents were both educators and they met at university. But that was a deeply cherished value, right? So you make the most of your education, regardless of your inborn talents. You do the best you possibly can in school. And then, you know, you work hard. And if you work hard, people recognize that and good things happen. And then, of course, like going back to the communications piece, you'd be direct and candid with people and tell the truth and don't obfuscate and don't mislead people. And you'll get a lot more, I think, out of people. And this is what I always think about when I'm communicating to employees, especially during the period when we were trying to recapitalize the company, because that was a tough, tough time. The company was coming off of this euphoric growth where times were good and venture capital was easy to raise and Clearco was like a rocket ship going to the moon. And then we hit a rough patch. And that rough patch entailed a very complicated multi-month restructuring process. And it took a lot longer than we thought. So when I came back as CEO in January of 2023, my first meeting with employees, we were talking about completing it in April of 2023. We ultimately completed all the transactions on October 2nd of 2023. And so I stood in front of the company monthly and I would just tell them the truth. And I would be transparent and I would tell them more rather than less. And what I saw, and I believe this is true, is that enhanced their commitment to Clearco. And I think that their reaction was, okay, I don't always love hearing what he's telling me, but at least he's telling me the truth and he's being candid and frank. And you know what? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and I'm going to stick around and I'm going to keep going. So if I'm an engineer, I'm going to keep working on the product and the code. If I'm in finance, I'm going to keep supporting all the things we're trying to do on the refinancing transactions, et cetera. And I thought that like that was a clear value, that number one value of transparency and being clear and effective communicators. That was something we started speaking to employees about in January of 2023. And then it served me and it served the company very well through the next, you know, 9-10 months when we kept trying to pull something off that was very tough to pull off. We ultimately pulled it off, but it took longer than we expected. And that candor, I think, served us or served me very well and made a big difference in terms of keeping everyone together and driving forward.
It's interesting that candor, because I've had that conversation with a lot of business leaders, and there are really two types. There are people that believe in full transparency and being honest and, you know, I'm going to share. And then there's the other camp where, no, I'm going to hold everything behind this closed door, whether that's the CEO or just the leadership team. And from all the conversations that I've had, you know, it seems counterintuitive at first to share and be open. But I find even if someone says, I don't know if we're going to be here in a year or your job is going to exist in a year, you would think people would look around and jump ship. I find the opposite to be true. People dig in and they want to be part of that growth and say, no, we can actually do this. So I'm really glad you brought that up because I think that's an important aspect for leaders to listen. Al and I have had that conversation with our other business partner, Joe, as well.
The thing is, you're never going to be able to tell everyone everything. And to be honest, like you can't share all information.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You just can't.
Yeah.
It would be foolish to do so. Inappropriate, foolish, et cetera. But you can tell them a lot.
Yeah.
And you can tell them like the things that matter most importantly at a general level. And in doing that, you can garner or gain their support and you foster trust. Like I'm looking at my section on clear communications as the number one guiding principles. We talk about, we ask hard questions and we give clear answers. If we can't give a clear answer, we tell you why. So that's a key part of what you're talking about. Like I have always believed that you earn more respect, more commitment from your employees if you're doing that.
Now, Andrew, Al does have a signature question. I have no idea if they prepared you for it or not.
Uh-oh.
If they didn't, listen, we'll throw it at you. If we had to edit it out and say, I don't have an answer for that. I suspect you do have an answer for this anyway. So we'll let Al take it away.
Yeah, you've already kind of started to answer it, I think. The question is this, Andrew. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting?
Yeah, so I think the trees I'm planting are hopefully with my children. So I have 4 kids myself, and you won't be surprised to learn that some of the values that we've spoken about today, I'm trying desperately to impart to my children, my phone-watching children who have the phone up to their faces all day. So those are 4 trees I'm trying to plant. And the other thing I'm trying to do is I'm trying to grow a business that does really good things in the world, that makes businesses grow, makes founders succeed, makes economies stronger. And I think that is ultimately what motivates me most. Again, I did not grow up in a family where we sat around the dinner table talking about finance or business. And like it was much more about the value of education, my mom's students, my dad's students, all the extraordinary things that they were going on to do. And so for me, my work life now has to tie to some North Star, my personal North Star. And my personal North Star is a lot like Clearco's North Star, which is you fuel growth for these founders that are breaking their backs and hustling and taking a lot of risk to grow something that is good for the world, that is good for the communities that they work in, that's good for their employees, and that's good for taxing authorities that then use those dollars to fund schools and other important social services. So I think of it as like a very holistic thing. And those are the trees that I'm trying to plant.
I love that. And you said it probably 2 or 3 times now. You know, it's not simply, hey, we're trying to build a business to make money for our shareholders. You've talked a couple of times about the effects, the ripple effects that it has in the bigger picture. So I love that. And it sounds like your kids are in great hands too.
Well, we'll see. They might disagree, but
I'm sure they will now.
There's nowhere for them to go, to be honest with you. So they're stuck.
The great thing about growing old is that you realize how smart your parents were.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Yes. Eventually they got really smart.
Yeah. I'm always telling my children, I'm like, especially like I have 2 boys who are 15 to 17. And I'm always saying, enjoy it while it lasts, like this period of clarity where you know everything.
Yes, exactly.
I remember vividly being a junior or senior in high school, and I was like, I don't know what I was saying, but I was sitting at the dinner table, and my dad just looked at me and started laughing. He's like, it's great to know everything when you're 17. And I was like, yep, it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I feel his pain.
Yeah, we all have those memories. Well, this has been really enjoyable, Andrew. Thank you for joining us today and sharing your story. What's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have questions about yourself or what you're doing at Clearco?
You can find me on LinkedIn, and also clear.co is Clearco's website. And that's a great way to learn about Clearco and easy to get in touch with me, and love to hear from people, and greatly appreciate your time today, and hope it was fun. I hope you get a bunch of DMs from people. I had some Canadian roommates in college. So one of them's from the Toronto area. One of them from Saskatchewan. I had a couple teammates in college who were from BC. So you never know who you'll hear from.
All right. Well, I do hope to hear from them. That does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. Hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or join the conversation on LinkedIn. We clearly saw it here today. Success leaves clues. We'll see you next time.